to God. Thank God for the word. Thank God for faith in Christ Jesus. Thank God for the word of God. I welcome you to another episode of Every Day with Jesus podcast, where lives are being touched, enriched, transformed by the preaching of the word of God. This is like morning devotion for us. Hallelujah. Morning devotion is not old school. It's the normal Christian life. Praise God. Our lives are being changed by this teaching of the word on a daily basis. Glory to God. Let's say a word of prayer. Thank you, Father, for your word. Thank you for the entrance of the same. Thank you for light and clarity, understanding, even as we yield our minds to the teaching of your word this morning. Thank you, Father, because for every confusion, we'll find clarity, we'll find direction. Thank you, Lord. Our hearts are instructed even as we look through your word. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. Okay, so we are starting another series titled Spiritual Growth and What It Looks Like. Spiritual growth and what it looks like. Hallelujah. And then in this teaching, we're going to be seeing scriptures, walking through scriptures, and seeing scriptures on the subject of spiritual growth. What exactly is spiritual growth? What does it look like to grow as a Christian? What does it look like to have grown or matured as a Christian? And, you know, by that, I'm not saying that you ever get to a point in your life where you fully matured in the faith. Paul, after several years of ministry, says, I've not apprehended, I've not attained. Hallelujah. So, at the very best, we are not going to become fully matured Christians. We are maturing Christians. Hallelujah. We'll keep maturing in our walk with the Lord. So, but then we're going to look through scriptures to see what it looks like to have, you know, gained the level of maturity in the faith, or made progress in the faith. What are the indices? What are the things to look out for to say, you know, to know that you have grown as a Christian? What makes us look at some believers and say, you are not growing? Look at another Christian and say, you are growing. Is spiritual growth a personal affair? Is spiritual growth a private matter? That is, people cannot know, they can't really say specifically whether you are growing or not. It's between you and your God. We are going to examine all these things in scriptures and find out the mind of God concerning this subject. Hallelujah. So, but today I want to lay a foundation for us. And I'm going to be emphasizing on the most important and vital ingredient for spiritual growth. Many times you find that believers don't even know what to look at, what to go after, what to seek and search. Hallelujah. What to seek and search in their quest for spiritual maturity. And certain preachers have not even helped. Several cliches flying out, you know, flying around here and there, you know, against the most important thing to go for when it comes to maturing as a Christian, and that is knowledge. Hallelujah. Knowledge. The believer must not joke with knowledge. Do you know why? Knowledge is the most fundamental thing that brings spiritual maturity. There is no growth outside growth in the knowledge of the Word of God. See, the reason why a lot of Christians go to church and they don't pay attention to teachings, to sermons, to the teaching of the Word of God, to scriptures, to Bible study, and they are looking out for, you know, some more entertaining approach to ministry. They are looking for comedy. They are looking for good songs. They are looking for drama. They are looking for talk shows. They are looking for all kinds of things that thrill their emotions. And then when it's time for Bible study, they are just so sad. They are just looking downcast. They are looking, you know, forsaken and dejected. I mean, they just want the service to get over. Just be true with whatever you have to say, and let's go home, or let's dance some more, and let's praise God some more, and things like that. It's because they do not realize that knowledge is the most important thing you'd ever need for spiritual maturity. I dare say that if a man is not exposed to any other thing and is exposed to the knowledge of God, he will find every other thing that he needs for spiritual growth as he pursues the knowledge of God. Why? Because it's the knowledge of God's word that would inform you about every other thing. For instance, I could trust a man who is given to Bible study and does not pray over a man who prays and forsakes or neglects Bible study and even despises it. I could trust him that one day will stumble upon scriptures that show him the importance and the necessity of prayer. Hallelujah. He'll stumble upon scriptures like Luke 18:1, and, you know, men ought always to pray and not to faint. He'll stumble upon scriptures like Colossians 4:2, continue in prayer earnestly and vigilant, you know, being vigilant in the same with thanksgiving. He'll stumble on scriptures like 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. He'll stumble on scriptures like, what are the scriptures now? Scriptures like Ephesians 6:18, praying always with all prayer and supplication for all saints, you know, watching thereunto with all perseverance. So, he will stumble on scriptures concerning prayer. I trust a man who focuses on Bible study and focuses his effort on pursuing the knowledge of the word above a man who just, you know, busies himself with evangelism and neglects scriptures. I mean, what are you even preaching? What are you saying? You know, many times Christians just get busy for the Lord without taking out time to know the Lord. Hallelujah. And then I'm going to open this teaching today with Jesus' conversation with Mary. I don't know why Matthew came to mind. Jesus' conversation with Mary and Martha. Praise God. Look at this carefully. I'll start from verse 38, Luke 10. Luke chapter 10, verse 38. Bible says, "Now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house, and she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, 'Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me alone to serve? Therefore, tell her to help me.' And Jesus answered and said to her, 'Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary has chosen that good path, which will not be taken away from her.'" Imagine yourself, you know, in this scenario. You welcome Jesus to your house, realize that it was Martha's house. Praise God. Mary was her sister staying with her, and then she was the host. So she was trying to play the host. She went around the kitchen. She was trying to prepare something for the Lord. And then she comes to say, "See, Mary is meant to be helping me out in this, you know, preparation and all that." And Jesus looks at her and says, "You are bothered about many things. You are troubled about many things. You are distracted." That's the word. You're encumbered. You're distracted about many things. Mary has chosen that good path which no one would take away from her. One thing is needful. This is about the most profound statement I've heard about the necessity and the importance of the word of God. One thing is needful. Praise God. Imagine yourself in that scenario. You'll have gotten offended or embarrassed, and you know, you'll have felt sad because you were trying to do something noble. You were trying to serve the Lord. You were trying to cater for him. You were trying to please him. And then he's saying to you, "No, that is a distraction. One thing is needful," because the word of God is essential for your growth. Hallelujah. And then, you know, the reason why Jesus says one thing is needful is because you're going to need the word of God for prayer. You need the word of God. If you want to be a very prayerful person, you need the word of God. If you don't feed on the word of God and you don't lay it as a foundation for your praying, you're going to be praying all kinds of strange prayers. You're going to need the word of God also for walking in love, relating with fellow believers, and walking in love towards the world. You're going to need the word of God. That's why it's funny when you find Christians who say, "Well, it's not all about knowledge. It's not knowledge. It's not knowledge. It's about walking in love. Let's just walk in love. I don't care what you know. I don't care what you believe." You know, that's a very funny statement. It's not all about knowledge. That's true. But to say, "You don't care what I believe, you don't care what you know, it's about us walking in love," that's an error in itself. You cannot walk in love if you don't feed on the knowledge of the truth, if you don't feed on knowledge of the word of God. In fact, the reason why people sound that way is because they are deficient in the truth of God's word. Hallelujah. They are not well nourished in the truth of God's word. If you are well fed and you've been taught the word of God and you've learned the word of God as you ought to, and you've imbibed the right knowledge of the word, you won't be speaking that way. You will know the importance of knowledge in your walking in love. One thing is needful because the word of God is essential for every spiritual activity. In fact, you need the word of God to praise and to worship and to give thanks appropriately. Many Christians are singing amiss, praising God amiss today, because their hearts are not filled with the knowledge of the word of God. Colossians chapter 3 verse 16, Bible says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, speaking and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs." You see that the word of God dwells in you first. Hallelujah. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Then you are able to sing. You are able to speak to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Because we must praise God from the abundance or from the wealth of the knowledge of that which he has done and who he is. Praise God. So we give God praise, having understood what he has done. Hallelujah. So we need the knowledge of the word of God. I mean, it goes without saying that you need the knowledge of the word of God to preach, to do ministry. Of course, that has to be said, because today people assume that they don't need scriptures. They don't need the study of the word of God. They don't need to know scriptures to preach. You could just get on the pulpit and motivate people based on your experience last week, something you went through last week, something that you saw in a vision, something you saw in your dreams. However, the scriptures are very clear that what brings spiritual maturity is the knowledge of the written word. Hallelujah. The knowledge of the written word, what people call the logos. Hallelujah. That's what brings spiritual maturity. And the written word is sometimes referred to as logos, is also sometimes referred to as rhema. They are almost, they are the same actually, essentially. It could be spoken, it could be written, it's just the word of God. God has not sent us to make a distinction between those two concepts. Hallelujah. So you need God's word to preach. You need a knowledge of the word of God to do ministry effectively, to make disciples of men. You need the knowledge of the word of God. There's no vision, there's no dream, there's no supernatural experience that supersedes the truth of the word of God, that supersedes that which is written. Glory to God. So on this, you know, on this ground, the knowledge of God's word is that one thing that is very, very needful. And you and I must be ardent students of the word. We must go in pursuit of the word of God on a daily basis. Hallelujah. So knowledge is important. In this journey of spiritual growth, knowledge is the most important thing because it lays the foundation for every other thing you're going to have to do. It lays the foundation for every other spiritual activity. Let me quickly show you something at Matthew chapter 4. I'll read from verse 1 in Temptation of Jesus. Matthew chapter 4, I'll read from verse 1. The Bible says, then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterward he was hungry. Now when the tempter came to him, he said, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. He was quoting Moses in the Old Testament. Hallelujah. It was Moses that said, man shall not live by bread alone. You know, God, your Lord came to humble you, to let you know that man doesn't have to live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And Jesus is recording this as a principle to live by. We realize that God's word is likened to food, which is given for nourishment and sustenance. God's word is likened to bread. Hallelujah. So God's word is essential for growth because it's food, it's nourishment. Praise God. It's nourishment. God's word provides nourishment, just like food nourishes our bodies. Look at this carefully. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Look at what Paul said to Timothy at 1 Timothy in chapter 4. Knowledge is so essential. Hallelujah. Don't let anybody talk down on knowledge. Don't let anybody discourage you from pursuing knowledge. Don't let anybody say to you, oh, you know, if you find people who don't emphasize the place of spiritual knowledge, and then you find them quoting regularly, knowledge puffs up, knowledge puffs up. Be sure that they are using that scripture out of context. Many times people have used that verse of the Bible to discourage the pursuit of knowledge. But the man that wrote that portion of scripture is the same man that emphasized the need and the place of knowledge in our spiritual growth. He emphasized knowledge. I mean, you can't be quoting us knowledge puffs up if you have not taught like Paul. Hallelujah. If you have not emphasized knowledge, the place of knowledge like Paul, you can't be quoting us knowledge puffs up. You don't even know what it means. Glory to God. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 4. Hallelujah. 1 Timothy in chapter 4. I'll read from verse 1. Bible says, now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times, some will depart from the faith, giving it to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. Bible says, for every creature of God is good and nothing is to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. Look at the sixth point of emphasis. But then there's a reason why I read from the beginning. You're going to find out very soon. Look at verse 6. Bible says, if you instruct the brethren in these things, you'll be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished in the words of faith and of the good doctrine which you have carefully followed. But reject profane and old wives' fables and exercise yourself toward godliness. Have you seen? It speaks of nourishment derived from the word of God. This is, you know, a word used for, you know, finding, a word used in the context of feeding, used in the context of finding a healthy diet. Praise God. Nourishment. Finding nourishment in a healthy diet. So he says, if you instruct the brethren in all these things, you'll be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished in the words of faith and of the good doctrine which you have carefully followed. So God's word nourishes men. The man that instructs men in sound doctrine is a man whose ministry is full of nourishment. Hallelujah. And then look at from verse 1. Paul says, you know, Paul was giving caution to Timothy, and it was a prophecy how that a time is going to come when men are going to give it to deceiving spirits, lying, you know, speaking lies in hypocrisy, deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. So the idea of, you know, we don't need knowledge, it's actually a deception. The truth is, if you turn away from the knowledge of the truth, if you turn away from the knowledge of the scriptures, you cannot be blank. Hallelujah. You can't be an empty or blank canvas. Something else is going to be deposited on your mind. There's a whole lot of garbage flying around that the devil would dump on your mind if you don't feed on the truth of the word of God. So folks who discourage people from studying scriptures and discourage a passionate pursuit of the word of God are in essence encouraging men to go after false knowledge. Because humans can never be blank. There's a void that you would have to fill. And if you don't fill it with the truth of the word of God, you're going to fill it with every other kind of knowledge. Hallelujah. That's how some Christians who don't enjoy studying their Bibles have gone after philosophies of men. They've gone after Darwin's theory. They've gone after, you know, several submissions by atheists, men who don't have time for scriptures, reading, you know, all kinds of funny literatures that have gotten them into trouble. They've gotten to a point in their lives where they are questioning the scriptures. Hallelujah. Questioning the scriptures. Do you understand? So you can never be blank. If somebody says you don't need too much knowledge, just serve God, just love God from your heart. You don't need knowledge, really. It's not really about the written word. You can just connect with God. That person is pushing you to a point in your life where you are going to open yourself to deception, because that's the only alternative. You will never be a blank template or blank canvas. You would always have a form of knowledge that you're paying attention to. Praise God. There will always be a form of knowledge. So that is what the Bible refers to as a form of godliness. 1 Timothy chapter 3. Look at this carefully. Hallelujah. 1 Timothy 3. Bible says, 2 Timothy chapter 3. A form of knowledge. But know this from verse 1, that in the last days, perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure, rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying its power. So these are men who have resisted the truth of the word of God. These are men who have been deprived of the truth of God's word. Who have been deprived of the knowledge of God. Listen, go to everywhere the truth of God's word is suppressed. You'll find another knowledge. There will always be a counterfeit knowledge available. So if you don't go for the knowledge of the word of God, you are going to open yourself up to all kinds of deception, all kinds of misleading teachings. There would always be something else as an alternative to feed on. So if you despise true knowledge, if you despise the knowledge of the truth, you would encounter false knowledge. That is the only alternative. Hallelujah. And listen, there is no indifference in this particular, you know, matter. There's no indifference. There's nothing like, I don't have any knowledge. You cannot be without knowledge. Praise God. You cannot be without knowledge. The human mind is designed to always know something. And you see, because of this, you're being passive towards receiving the truth of God's word is being active towards receiving deception. You always know something. Praise God. You'd always have to know something. So knowledge is very important and essential. It is prescribed in scriptures. Knowledge is so key. Hallelujah. Look at the Great Commission. Look at what Jesus said. For you to see how important knowledge is. Matthew chapter 28, look at what Jesus said in that instruction. Most times, because we don't pay attention to those little details, we just make statements that are very, very, you know, off the mark. Matthew 28, hallelujah. I'll read from verse 18. Glory to God. Bible says, and Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them, hallelujah, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. If you look at Mark's account, Mark chapter 16, verse 15, you see that teaching is the emphasis. Go and teach. Go and make disciples. Men who are going to be studious in the word of God. Mark 16, glory to God. Knowledge is so essential. In fact, listen, if you see a Christian who is not making progress in the faith, go and check what he's receiving. Go and check his attitude or his disposition towards the knowledge of God's word, towards the scriptures. It's either such a person has been outrightly deprived of sound doctrine, or the person is unserious towards sound doctrine. That is, it's either the person is being fed false knowledge, false teaching, or the person has access to sound teaching and is not paying attention. It is always fundamentally a knowledge problem. First and foremost, a knowledge problem. Hallelujah. Look at Mark 16. Glory to God. I'll read from verse 15. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. You see, preaching, word, teaching, God's word, teaching, preaching, God's word, instruction, indoctrination. This is the most fundamental thing in the Christian faith. It is by teaching and preaching men are saved. It is by teaching and preaching men find spiritual maturity. So knowledge is the most essential thing in the Christian faith. Hallelujah. In fact, knowledge is so essential in the Christian faith, it is also called the faith. Jude 3. Look at this carefully. Jude 3. Bible says, "Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. For certain men have crept in unnoticed, who long ago were marked out for this condemnation, ungodly men, who turned the grace of our Lord Jesus into lewdness, the grace of our God into lewdness, and denied the only Lord God and Lord Jesus Christ." Have you seen? So what it refers to as faith there is the teaching of God's word. How that certain men have corrupted the teaching of grace. Hallelujah. So the teaching, the word of God is so powerful, is so essential, is so fundamental, is the most vital thing in the Christian faith, that knowledge itself is called the faith. Hallelujah. Look at this other place, 1 Timothy chapter 4 that we read earlier. Look at how Paul also refers to it as the faith. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Glory to God. 1 Timothy in chapter 4. Hallelujah. Just follow closely. Bible says, "Now the Spirit expressly says in latter times that some will depart from the faith." They will depart from the faith. What he refers to as departing from the faith here is departing from the doctrine of Christ, from the teaching of the faith. That's why he says, "Giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their own conscience shared with the hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from food which God created to be received." Have you seen? So they are going to depart from sound doctrine. They are going to depart from what the faith preaches. Glory to God. So knowledge is the most essential and fundamental thing in the Christian faith. It is also called the faith. Praise God. It's called the faith. So that's how important knowledge is. Listen, don't let anyone discourage you from a passionate pursuit of the knowledge of God's word. Don't let anyone discourage you from a passionate pursuit of the knowledge of the word of God. Now, I've heard people say there's a difference between knowing scriptures and knowing him as a person and knowing God as a person. I dare say knowing God as a person starts from knowing the scriptures. Hallelujah. He begins by knowing the scriptures. The scriptures bear witness to him. John 5:39, "You said the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, but these are they which testify of me." So knowing him begins with knowing the scriptures. Hallelujah. So the knowledge we are talking about begins with a study of God's word, a passionate search of scriptures. We must know him via the scriptures. Let nobody discourage you from a passionate pursuit of the study of the word of God. This is where you find spiritual growth. There's no spiritual growth outside the knowledge of the word of God. I'll say it again. There's no spiritual growth outside the knowledge of the word of God. And not just any kind of knowledge. Hallelujah. Not just any kind of knowledge. A specific knowledge. The knowledge of Christ. The knowledge of what Jesus has done, who he is to us, and who we are in him, what we have in him. Look at Philemon as I close. Philemon chapter 1 is just one chapter anyways. So Philemon 1, 6. Hallelujah. Of Philemon 6. Let me even start from verse 4. I thank my God, making mention of you always in my prayers, hearing of your love for and faith which you have toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints, that the sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. That the sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledging of every good thing which you have in Christ Jesus. It says your faith will become operational, effective. Your faith will find expression. Your new life in Christ Jesus will begin to find expression as you begin to acknowledge every good thing that is yours in Christ. Acknowledge there is the word epignosis in the Greek, which means to have a full discernment, a full understanding of that which you have in Christ Jesus. So the knowledge we are talking about is a specific knowledge, the knowledge of Christ, the gospel. Hallelujah. It's not just anything that sounds knowledgeable. It's not just anything that sounds great. It's not just any kind of knowledge. Praise God. A specific knowledge, the knowledge of the Son of God. You know, Paul says that I may know him. Hallelujah. That was why he left Judaism. That was why he forsook everything. He forsook. That was the reason why he left his own righteousness and abandoned it. That was why he accepted the call into the ministry, that I may know him. Hallelujah. That I may know him. Look at Philippians chapter 3. Philippians in chapter 3. I'll read from verse 7. Paul speaking, he says, but what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed, I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. So Paul says the reason why I forsook my righteousness, the reason why I let go all that I held on to as dear to me in the law, in Judaism, is so that I may know him. Hallelujah. Now, this is the same Paul writing to Philemon, and then he says that the sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledging of every good thing that you have in Christ Jesus. So evidently, Paul's idea of knowing Christ and knowing him is not outside the scope of knowing that which he has in Christ Jesus. And we know these things from the scriptures. So evidently, Paul is not promoting seeking some extra or some mixed mystical knowledge of God outside the scope of scriptures. Paul's emphasis is on the knowledge of the Son of God via the knowledge of the Word. Praise God. So this is how to know him. So we must go in passionate search of the Word of God. We must be students of the Word. We must desire knowledge, the knowledge of the Son of God. We must desire the knowledge of the Scriptures if we ever want to grow as believers. If you want to keep growing as a Christian, you must keep receiving the knowledge of the Word of God. There will never be a time in your life where you will have known too much, or you will have known so much that you don't need to know any longer. The more you know, the more you grow. Hallelujah. The day you stop knowing is the day you stop growing. The day you stop knowing is the day you stop growing. If you keep knowing, you keep growing. That's why Paul at Philippians chapter 3 from verse 12, he says, not that I have already attained or I'm already perfected, but I press on. Hallelujah. I press on. Praise God. You see, some folks, they come into the knowledge of the Word of God, they learn scriptures, then learn their realities in Christ Jesus, and they sit comfortably. Anytime they come to church, they don't pay attention any longer. They are not flipping through scriptures to find out what we are saying anymore. They are not taking notes anymore. To them, they've arrived. Praise God. To them, they've already mastered the whole thing. They know everything that we want to say. They know all there is to be found in the scriptures. But such men are only being self-deluded. Paul says, I have not attained. Hallelujah. I have not attained. Or am I already perfected? But I press on. There's a pressing on that is found in the pursuit of the Christian. The Christian must be found always pressing on, because there's always more to reach out to. There's always more to reach out for. There's always more. In fact, the things you think you know, you don't know them as you ought to know them. Praise God. You don't know the things you know as you ought to know them. So there's a pressing on in this matter. It says that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Verse 13, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Have you seen? I'm pressing on. I'm pressing on. I'm making progress. I forget the things that are past. Doesn't mean I forget what I've learned. It means I forget the idea of, you know, all the labors, all the effort I've put, I've invested in my maturity, in my growth. I put them behind me. I forget them. I don't say, there used to be a time I used to read scriptures like crazy. There used to be a time I'll come to church, I'm paying attention to knowledge. I'm paying attention to receiving sound doctrine. But you see, right now, I'm just so busy. I don't tell such tales about my life. I don't tell such stories because I know they are silly stories. I'm not meant to have my best days of paying attention to the Word of God in the past. My best days of paying attention to the knowledge of the Word should be a present tense thing. It should be a present tense reality. I should be effective in my receiving of God's Word now. Hallelujah. In fact, what Paul is saying is, right now I should be doing more. I should be found paying more attention. I should be found reaching out for more. I should be found doing more. I should be found forgetting those things which are past and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I should be found making progress in the Christian faith. Hallelujah. So there will never be a time in your life where you get to a point that you say, I already know enough. You will never know enough. As a Christian, as long as you are on the face of the earth, there will be a need for a constant, a gradual, a continuous, a consistent renewal of your mind with the truth of the Word of God. So you see, the knowledge of the Word of God and the pursuit of the same will always be relevant to you as a Christian. There will never be a time in your life when you will not find God's Word relevant, when you won't find a need to pursue the knowledge of the Word as something that is necessary and vital. Every day of your life, seeking the knowledge of God's Word will be essential to you as a Christian. We'll continue our study from here tomorrow. Don't forget to invite somebody. Invite your classmates, relatives, colleagues, anyone at all, and let's come together to have a great time in the Word of God. And don't forget to have a great day of being full of the Word, full of faith, full of prayers, spiritual songs, full of the Holy Ghost and of power, and be a blessing to somebody. See you in the next episode.